click on the red button?
Yeah.
I don't see a red button.
Started. We're on. Okay. Today's daf Chaf Aleph. We're on Chaf Amid Beis by the two dots. That's eight lines up from the bottom. Iboy Lahu. We ask the following question. According to the one who holds that the Nedarim and Nedavos cannot be brought on Yontif. We had yesterday a machlokas about that. So there was difference of opinion. There was a machlokas whether Beis Hillel held it or not. Anyway, whoever holds he can't bring it on Yontif. What's the halacha of our v'shachat mai? What if you did it? What if you did it, you forgot, whatever it is, and you shechted a nedava, which doesn't have anything to do with yontif, it shouldn't have been brought today, but you did it, you forgot, and you brought it, what do you do? So Rava Amar, Rava says, fine, you shouldn't have done it, however, zorek es hadam, you could sprinkle the dam, you could do the zorek es hadam, al manas lahatir basar ba'achila, as long as the meat could still be eaten. So if the meat can be eaten today, it's yontif. If the meat can be eaten, it's no problem. If the meat can't be eaten, let's say the meat got tummy, or it's lost, then don't do the zrikas hadam. Only if the meat can be eaten. Rabba Bar Barhuna Amar. Rabba Bar Barhuna says, no. Zorikas hadam al manas lahak direi murin le'erev. No, you can even do zrikas hadam as long as after yontif is over, you'll be able to be makriv the emurin on the mizbeach. The emurin were the certain parts of the animal that went up on the mizbeach. That could be done balayla. So even if the meat's not around, no one's eating this carbon. However, you can still do zvikas adam because matzi yontif, you're going to be able to be makriv the emurin. My benayu, what's the machlokas between Rabba Bar Ravuna and Rava? The machlokas is ikir benayu nitma basar or sha'avad. Let's say the meat became tummy, or you lost it. See, no one's eating this carbon. Le Rava lo zarek. So according to Rava, don't do zrika. Why not? No one's eating it. And the only heter for zrika is if someone's going to eat it. Le Rava Bar Ravuna zarek. No, according to Rava Bar Ravuna, it can be eaten. It can be brought. So Rashi says, what's the problem with Zerika? Rashi says, the Kaimalon, Rashi says it somewhere, he says that it is a Shavus. Which is a big question, because it ain't Shavus, but here it is. L'Rabba Lozark, Apag after Lav Malachi, he gazeba mishum Shavus. Even though there's no Malacha, it's not one of the 39 Malacha sprinkling blood, it's a Shavus. So the Penei Shavu asked, ain't Shavus by Mikdash? So what kind of reason is that? So it's a very, very long Peneshua over there getting out of this. I didn't fully get the whole thing. So then, oh, we're going to see in a minute. Bidiyavid. So Bidiyavid, it was okay. Bidiyavid. We're going to have a kash on him anyway. Neshve. Question on Rabba Bar Ravuna. Why? Because there's a brisa that says Kisvei Atzeres, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos, Sheshachton Shelo Lishman. Let's say they were shechted Shelo Lishma. They were shechted. Rashi says L'shem Ola. They were shechted for some other reason. And the halacha is every carbon in the world that's shechted Shelo Lishma, it's okay. You don't get your checkpoint in Shemayim for bringing the carbon, but it's not a pasul carbon except for Chatos and Karban Pesach. So this is okay. It's edible. Just you have to bring another one. But it's edible. It's fine. So Osha Shachton Be'lefnei Zman Be'la'achas Manon, or it was brought too early or too late. Hadam Yizrok. You could sprinkle the dam. V'arbasa Yochal. And you can eat the meat. Why could you eat the meat? Why not? Because like we said, it's Shalosh Shema, it's fine. It's not a Pesach. It's not a Chatos. It's okay. But V'im Ha'is a Shabbos. But had this been a Shabbos, Lo Yizrok, it would not be permissible. V'yim zarak, and if you would have done it, b'lich achil, don't, but b'di'eved, hurtza, it would be okay, only al manas l'hak de'emurin l'erev. As long as you'll be able to maktiv de'emurin after Shabbos. Im zarak, so what do you see from here? Im zarak, di'eved e'lich achil lo. L'ch achil, don't do this. So bishlom alurava nicha. Rashi explains, you can't eat this carbon because there's no way to cook it. Not eating raw meat. There's no way to cook the meat. It's Shabbos. So the meat's not going to be eaten. on Shavuot, on Shabbos, Shavuot. It's going to have to wait till Matzah. So according to Rava, that makes perfect sense. Rava said the only time you could sprinkle the dam is if someone's going to eat it. Here, no one's eating it. No one's eating raw meat on Shabbos. But according to Rabbi Bar Huna, he said you could sprinkle that as long as it's going to be burned that night. Here, this price says that's only true b'di'evet. But the Chachil is not true. So it's a kasha at Rabbi Bar Huna. So the Gemara says, kasha, you're right, it's a kasha. It's a kasha. Now, v'ibayis eimah, or have a way out of the kasha. So then why does the Gemara say kasha? V'ibayis eimah, have a way out of the kasha. What's the way out? Shiny shvus. Shiny Shavuot Shabbos mi Shavuot Yontif. A Shavuot on Shabbos is worse than a Shavuot on Yontif. Meaning, Rabbi Rav Huna only mattered this idea on Yontif. On Yontif, fine, on Yontif, if you sprinkle the dam and you can only be able to have a Murid after Yontif, fine, he'll let you do it. On Shabbos, he'd never let. Why? Shabbos is more machmer. This is exactly the opposite of what we said on Daf Beis, that we make more Xeros for Yontif, because it's less special, people treat it with less regard, so therefore they were more machmer by Yontif. Here we're saying the exact reverse. So at the end of the Masechta, the Baal Ma'or has a whole piece. We always have this question. When do we say, oh, it's a Daraisa, we treat it with such high regard, and when do we say, it's a Darabana, we treat it with such high regard? So that's a big, where do you draw the line by that? So in Daf Beis we said, since it's a Yontif, we were more machmer. Here we're saying just the opposite. Since it's a Shabbos, we're more machmer. So he never would have allowed it on Shabbos. Rabbi Sathar Akash on him. He never would have agreed. The only time he would say it's fine is on Yontif. Fine. Boimine Rav Avia Saba Merav Huna. Rav Avia Saba asked Rav Huna. Behema, if you have a behema, Chetzi Shal Nachri v'Chetzi Shal Yisrael. Half it belongs to a Jew, half it belongs to a Goy. Mahu l'shchit l'shachta b'yontif. Can you shecht such a behema on Yontif? I want to eat from this behema. I'm allowed to. However, half of it belongs to a guy, so that I'm doing a lot of unnecessary things for the guy. Can I do it? Amalei, mutter, no problem, it's mutter. Amalei, v'chima bein zel l'nadarm v'nadavos. How is this different than Adarm and Adavos? And Rashi explains, because Adarm and Adavos also, half of it's going to Hashem, nobody's eating it, half of it's going to you. And we say, that's no good. This is the kasha that the Mefarshim explain is the mitoch question. Why can't I shecht a neder or an adava on yontif? Isn't it mitoch? A lot of it's going to be right. What did we say? You can't shecht nedar and adava on yontif. Why not? It's mitoch. Mitoch means even though a lot of it is going to be going on the mizbech and I can't eat it, it's ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh. I want to eat. Why can't I? So the Gemara is asking the exact same question here. I can shecht half it belongs to a guy that I can do. So why can't I shecht the neder and the dava on yontif? Why not? So the Gemara answers, v'chimad ben zel and dava l'davos. So amalei. So Rav Huna answers back with Avya, or Rav Parach. The raven flew away. Rashi explains this to mean that he didn't answer him. He changed the subject. Rabbi Chananel says he was telling him it's like a foolish question, like he was dismissing him very, very quickly. Kinafak. So when Rav Avya left, Amale Rabba Bray, Rav Huna's son Rabba said to his father Rav Huna, Lav Haini Rav Avya Saba, isn't that Rav Avya the old man the Saba the Mishtabech Lemar Begave the Gavra Rabbahu that you have praised as being a great man? Isn't that great man? So why did you just dismiss him like that? So Amalei, so he told him, you know what? What should I do? Ani hayom today samchuni beishishus rafduni betapuchim, which means I need to be sustained with food and nourished with apples. It's a pasuk from Shir Shirim, meaning I'm exhausted, and uboy mina milsa deboy taima. That question was a very good question, and I had to think a lot to get that answer. And Rashi explains he had just spent the whole day giving shir, so he was exhausted. So he needed to eat something before he was able to answer. That's a lot of undercurrent what's going on here. Some say that the reference to the raven is all the Gemaras that say you have in order to acquire Torah you have to make yourself black like an oven, like a raven. You have to kill yourself to all these types of references. Anyway, Bapashtas, he just dismissed him because he was exhausted and he needed to think out the answer. So, v'tayim amaisa, what's the answer? What's the answer? Tayim, what's the answer? So the Gemara says, behema chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel Yisrael, if a behema is owned half and half, mutter l'shchit b'yantif, it's mutter to slaughter it on yantif, the e efshar l'kezayis basar below shchita, because there's no way to get a kezayis out of that without doing shchita. There's no way to split the animal. We're going to see in a few minutes that if you own dough with a goy, that you can split in half. Give the dough half, right? Do leash, right? Get the dough ready and give half it to the goy. You don't have to work on his half. You can split it. You can't split an animal. The only way to get to the meat is to shecht it. So that's mitoch. That's exactly what mitoch is. But avol adam for the davos, asher l'shachtan b'yantif, it's asher to shecht it. Why? The Kahanim, because the Kahanim, and Rashi says, and the Bailim, ki kazachu, when they get to eat a karvan, mishulchan gavoh kazachu. They're only eating it as Hashem's gift. Meaning, when you shech the karvan, the whole thing is Lashem. The whole thing is going to Hashem. So there's no mitoch over here. Okay, Hashem says, by the way, I'll let you eat a little bit of it. That's not mitoch. You're not doing malachos for yourself, and by the way, incidentally, the goy is going to benefit. That's not what it is by a carbon. It's totally legavoa. Hashem said, okay, so certain parts of it you're allowed to eat. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all. Therefore, you can't bring these carbonos on yantif, but if it belongs to you and a goy, how else are you going to get to the food? There's no other way. So it's mutter. Fine. Next. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Behema. If you have a behema, chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel Yisrael, mutter l'shachta b'yamtif. You're allowed to shecht it on yamtif. The e efshar l'kezayis basar below shechita. It's impossible. How are you going to get to the meat? It's impossible, like we just said. However, isa, if you have a dough, chetzi shel nachri v'chetzi shel Yisrael, half of it belongs to you, half it belongs to the goy. Aser lafosa b'yamtif. You're not allowed to bake that on yamtif. You're not allowed to do malacha for a goy. Why? Because you can split it. By lisha, when you're kneading it. When you're up to the kneading process, it's a nice, thick piece of dough. Cut off half and give it to the guy. And then you can bake yourself, of course. It's ochel nefesh. You can bake for yourself a yontif, but the guy's part, give it to the guy. Now, Masiv Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi asked the following question. Isas klavim, if you have dough that is for dogs. Rashi explains, it's very, very coarse. People can't really eat this dough. It's very coarse dough. Nobody really eats it. But bizman shaharo in Oakland, if the shepherds, the aniyim, the inferior people, will still eat it. Sometimes you hear these crazy stories. A woman alone, she eats cat food. It's a very rare thing. But so nobody eats animal food. Generally, people don't eat animal food. However, if it's still not 100% animal food yet, so people will still eat it. Maybe b'shas adchak. So if it's that kind of food, that kind of bread, so ochle mimena, that the shepherds, who they're considered, in the Gemara, they're always given a bad rap. They're always considered these low people. So if a shepherd would eat from this bread, then it's considered bread. Therefore, chayev es pechala, you have to give chala. You don't have to give chala in animal food. Uma arvin ba, you can use it for an eruv, which means you can combine all the houses into one chatzar. U'mishtatvin ba, and you can use it for shitur. Remember what that is? That you can combine all the different chatzars into one mavui. That you could do with this bread, because it's considered food. That's the bottom line here. It's considered food. And u'mavarchin aleha, you can make a bracha on it. It's food. U'mizamnin aleha, you can make a zibun. V'nefas b'yantif, you can bake it on yantif, because it's food. It's edible. It's human food. And you can eat it on Pesach. You can use it for matzah because it's considered good food. Rashi says, first night, you have to eat matzah. So all that's very nice and good regarding this bread. So the Gemara asks, why should this be permissible? But you can cut it in half. Take off the animal part, take off the human part, and you can split it in half. So are you allowed to go through the whole process of baking all of it if all of it is not needed? Because half it's going to the dog anyway, and that we said you can't do. We're going to have machlokas today, whether you can prepare food and do malachos for animals. It's a machlokas machaber in the Ramah, believe it or not. So, but here the Gemara is assuming you can't. We're assuming you can't. So if since you can't, why can't you cut it in half and don't bake the animals, don't bake the dog's half, only bake your half? So the Gemara answers, Shiny Isas Klovim. No, the dough for animals for dogs is different. Howil the Efsher Lepaisan bin Nevela. Because you're able to give the dog a nevela. You can give the dog other meat, other treif meat that you have lying around for whatever reason. And therefore, the bread is going to become totally available for humans, even though it's halal, right? I'm allowed to, right? We said, halal, what's halal? I could cook today for Shabbos. Why? Because guests might come. And if guests might come, I'm allowed to cook even if guests don't come. So I could cook dog food today because halal, I could give the dog other stuff. And then this will be available for me and my family. So therefore, I could bake it right now.
By the kneading process, you could split it before the kneading process.
I don't think that was just. Maybe it's harder to split it, but when it's still flour, so when it got close to baking it, then you could split it. I don't think that there's any. I don't know. Maybe there is, but at first blush, there probably isn't. So this statement over here. So fine. So now we started off the two dots. Amar of Chista. We started off with Rav Chista. This is the same Rav Chista. There's only one Rav Chista that we know of. The same Rav Chista who doesn't agree with Hoel. He doesn't hold of Hoel. So the Gemara asked, Umi Islay Rav Chista Hoel? Does Rav Chista agree such a concept of Hoel? He doesn't. He doesn't permit you to cook on Friday for Shabbos because of Hoel. He had an entirely other reason why you're allowed to do that. His reason was because simply you're allowed to. You're allowed to prepare from one Kedusha to another. Rashi there said, it's Kedusha Achas. Shabbos, Yom Tov into Shabbos. He doesn't hold of Hoel. So this can't be an answer. Well, maybe you'll feed the animal. That doesn't cut it. It's not a valid reason. So Hoel, v'ha'itmar ha'ofer mi'yom tov l'chol, if somebody bakes from Yom Tov to Chol, somebody does that, he's figured, and Rashi explains, it's after you ate already. So you're not eating anymore. I have nothing to do, it's Yom Tov afternoon. You know what, I'll cook for the week. Yom Tov is a Sunday or a Monday. I'll cook for the week then. Nothing else to do. It's Yom Tov. So, Rav Chista Amar Loke. You do that, you get Malkus. That's a Daraisa. You can't do that. We don't. Yeah, what if guests are going to come? He doesn't hold from that. Right? So we have an Erev Tavshil, and just as we said that already, as either as a Hecker or as a Matir. Rabba Amar, Rabba says, Eino Loke. You don't get Malkus for that. So according to Rav Chista, this is the same Rav Chista. So how can you tell me that Rav Chista would allow you to cook, to bake bread, and say it's really for dogs, and what's the heter? Well, maybe I can give the dogs other food, I'll have this for myself. Rav Chista doesn't hold of that principle. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar Loka, so the Gemara says, Lo Amrin Hoel, I'm sorry, we're still up to the question. Rabba Amar Eino Loka, Rav Chista Amar Loka. Lo Amrin, we don't say Hoel Mikla Orchim, since guests might come, Chazi Le Hashta Nami, Chazi. So it's good now too. Even if guests don't come, I can still do it. He doesn't hold to that principle. Rabba Amar Loka. Rabba says Rabba Amar Eino Loka. Rabba says Eino Loka. There's no Malkus. Why? Amrinan Hoel. Amrinan Hoel. We do say that principle. So how? So the question remains: how can I bake this bread if it's really half its dog food? Ella Lo Tema Hoel the Efshar. Don't say well because maybe I'll find some food around to give to the dog. Ella Kigon Islay Nevel of Devadai. No, I certainly have other food for the dog. Not maybe. I certainly have it. It's not whole, it's not maybe. I certainly have other food here available for the dog. If I certainly do, then I'm cooking really for myself. And that's okay. Okay? He doesn't hold of whole. He doesn't hold of whole at all. Right, exactly. That's exactly the point. It's not, you're not making dog food, you're making human food. That's exactly his point. And don't tell him, well, what's the dog going to eat? No, I have food for the dog. Don't want to start a problem. It's not a trick. I have food for the dog. Okay, next.
It's still whole that it's just not something.
It's not a whole. Right, so whole is a fiction.
I was going to make one loaf, but now I can make two loaves
right.
because I can use it for human consumption.
Exactly. Whole really is a fiction, so here it's a vadai. Right. That's what the Magen Avraham says, which is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, if it's very late on a Friday afternoon, you might have a problem cooking. because Lamaisa, no guests are coming. Who's walking in 20 minutes before Shki on a Friday? No one. So then the whole fiction is really, it's really a joke. So the Magen Avraham says, we don't know who the Paskin like. We have to be Machmir, and Mishnura quotes this. You should be Machmir, and you shouldn't be cooking on a Friday into Shabbos, very, very late on Friday afternoon. Because then who's coming? No one's showing up then.
Same thing like
selling chametz. What? No, so when we sell the chametz, we spoke about that. It's a bona fide sale. That's a genuine sale. The guy wants to come and get the food, he said, you have to let him in.
And here there is enough time.
What?
It's the likelihood of someone coming is not that great.
So therefore, the whole heter doesn't apply. If the likelihood of someone coming is so remote, then it's just a fiction. But that's only his option. But the reality is, it's a valid sale. It's 85 kinyanim, it's a totally valid sale. It's 100% above board.
I insist
someone can come. I guess the understanding is it's not going to happen. Lamaisa, it's not going to happen. Nobody's visiting people a half hour before Shabbat. It doesn't happen. So since it doesn't happen, it's a chumrah. The Magen Avraham has a chumrah. Others say no, it doesn't make a difference. Because others don't even hold the hole. So the whole reason is okay. Even 5 minutes before, you can still cook. It's a chumrah that the Mishnah Berurah says people should try to follow. Ein echinami, it's a big issue. It's a big issue. If you cook something, it won't be ready. It's a big issue. Right. Yeah. Mitoch is, as far as I know, whole means, since option A is going to happen, since option A might happen, I can do it even if it's not going to happen. For example, if guests come, I don't want to look like I'm a cheapskate, and I don't want to look like I don't have any food, so I'm going to cook, because my friend told me he's going to stop by. So I want to. Even if he doesn't stop by, I can still engage in the cooking. Mitoch is, since malacha on Yontif was permitted for ochel nefesh, it becomes permitted even not for ochel nefesh. For example, on a bed, we're going to have taking a bath. I'm allowed to heat up water to cook, so can I heat up water to wash? That's not hol. That's not since it's mutter. For cooking, I can. That's not halal. That's an example of mitoch. Since I can cook for food, I can cook for non-food. Since I can carry for food, I can carry the baby. It's a little different. I think there's a distinction. Okay. Next, boy minei me Rav Huna. They asked the Rav Huna. Now we're going to get into the issue of cooking for goyim. Hani bnei baga. The guys in the towns. The Rami Alayhu Kimcha, the Bnei Chayla, that are forced to cook for the soldiers who are considered not Jewish soldiers. They're not the Goyim. The king, the governor, is requiring them to cook. You have to bake for them. It's before the Third Amendment, so there's no quartering act. So they're living by you guys, and you have to cook for them. So Mahula Fosa Biyantif. What's the halacha? Can you bake for them on Yantif? Is that permitted? I assume that we're not talking about a case of Pikuach Nefesh. There won't be some kind of mass riot. And the only issue is, can you cook for them? So, Amar Lahu, so he told him, Chazina, let's see. Ihavule riftul yanuka. Let's say you're going to cook the bread for them. And the general is going to come and say, where's supper? And you're going to say, it's right here. But you know what? Can we eat with you? Ihavule riftul yanuka. If you want to give some food to the kids. Velo kapti. And they're not going to object. After all, it's your house. So they're going to say, it's fine. You can eat with us. The kids can eat. It's no problem. Then kol chad v'chad, the chadil yinuka. So each piece of food that you're cooking is fit for your kids. It's fit for you. Therefore, vishari and its mutter. The ilav. And if not, if they're going to object, they don't want to eat with you, they don't want to look at you, they don't want you around, then usher. You're not allowed to cook for a guy. That is the shita of Rav Huna. You're not allowed to cook for a goy. The only heter is if you're going to be eating also. Then you're really cooking for yourself. The goyim are there, that's fine. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'hatanya, but we learned. Ma'isa b'shimon ha-timni. There was a story with Shimon ha-timni, came from Timnas. Shlo bo emesh l'beis ha-medrash. He wasn't at shul, he wasn't at the shir on Yontif night. They used to go to shir Yontif night. B'shachris, the next morning, much of Yehuda ben Bava, Amalo, b'demalo basa emesh l'beis ha-medrash. Why did you come to shir last night? Where were you? We're waiting for you. Amar, so he said, you know what happened? Amalo, Beleshez Bal Irenu. A bunch of soldiers showed up. The Ubatcha Lachatov has called her ear. They wanted to plunder the whole city. They weren't going to kill anybody, just going to plunder and rob. So Vishachatnu Lahem Egel, we prepared them an Egel. We prepared them an Egel, we made them food. We got them nice and happy. Vachlinum, we ate, we gave them, we fed them, we gave them food. Upatrinum Lashalom, and then they left in peace. So that's why I didn't come, because I spent the whole night making sure they were happy and they didn't plunder. So the Gemara says, Amalo, so Rav Yehuda ben Bava says to Shimon HaTimni, Timani Yem Lo Yatzes Schar Behefseidchem. I don't know if what you gained was offset by what you lost. What did you lose? Over Yontif. You cooked on Yontif for no reason. Cooking for Goyim? What did you save? You saved your dishes? They didn't break them. That's not a trade-off. You mezalzel Yontif. You were over Yontif. You cooked on Yontif for no reason. For Goyim. So I'm not sure. So why? Shari Amr Torah, because the Torah says, Lochem, Belolovik Lachavim. You can't cook for Goyim. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? That you're not going to cook for Goyim. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Vamai hachazel lemechal minei. But they could have eaten along with the Goyim. And if you can eat along with the Goyim, we said, then you're really cooking for yourself. And that's okay. So Gemara says, couldn't say that. Amar v'yosef. No, egel chefahav. It was not a kosher animal. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Vachazel leklovim. But you could give it to dogs. You can give it to dogs. It's good dog food. So the Gemara says, Tanoihi. So it's a machlokas tanoim, whether or not you're allowed to cook for dogs, for animals, for your pets, and Rav Yehuda ben Bava held you're not allowed to. Therefore, he was upset with him. So what do you see from here? That you cannot cook for goyim unless you can partake. Tanoihi de Tanya. It says Ach Asher Yochal L'chol Nefesh Hu Levada Yosel Lachem. So Mimashma Shenemar L'chol Nefesh. Since it says L'chol Nefesh for any nefesh. Who's a nefesh? People are nefesh. What about animals? So he holds yes. Shemei ani afilu nefesh behema b'mashma. Even animals. You know why? In Shedema, like it says, maka nefesh behema. The word nefesh is used with the word behema somewhere. So you see that even nefesh even includes behemas. So yishalmena. So Talmud Lama. Therefore, the Torah has to go out of its way to say lochem v'lo leklavim. No, I would have thought animals are included because they're also nefesh. They're also living. They're alive. Kamash malon, you can't cook for animals. Rabbi Akiva says, no, afilu nefesh behema b'mashma. No, even animals are included. Imkein, matam alom alachem. So what does lachem tell me? Lachem v'lo la'ovdik ha'chavim. You can't cook for goyim. Umara isa, l'rabba says, ha'klav malhozik it's ovdik ha'chavim. Why are you including animals to cook for? Yes. And goyim, no. The Gemara says, mar bani is ha'klavim. I'll rather include the klavim, the dogs, shemazon asecha alecha. Because they're dependent on me. They're my pets. I feed them all the other times. But we had this already in Masechta Shabbos. You have to feed your animals before you feed yourself. Where do you learn that out from? This week's Parsha. Rivka fed the camels before she fed Eliezer. Animals come first. And they're my responsibility. So that's why I'll say you can cook for animals. What are you supposed to do? The animals are supposed to starve for Yontif? No. You can cook for them. But, umoteni is ovdi kachafim, but I don't include the goyim. Shemezono sin olecha. They're not my responsibility. I don't have to cook for them. Rehudah ben Bava held like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore he was upset. Why did you cook for the Goyim? Okay, next. I'm actually getting into some muksa. Amalei Abaye or Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, Ulu Rabbi Yossi Aglili, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Amar, he said, Lachem l'kol l'klavim, you can't feed dogs, you can't feed your animals, you can't prepare the food. So then, Hani Sufle l'chiyusa, the pits of dates, which Rashi says are really muksa, pits are muksa because they have no purpose. How do you feed into the animals on Yontif? Because we're making a leap now and we're saying, if you can't cook for animals, you can't be over muksa for them. Right? So we would think to ourselves, well, it's animal food, so it's, of course it's not muksa. But Rosh Hashanah doesn't hold that. If you can't prepare the food for them, you can't touch it either. So how do you feed the pits to the animals? It's muksa. So Gemara says, Amalei, no, howl. Howl v'chazi lahasaka, since if you want, you can use it for firewood, these pits. So if you use it for firewood, it's not muksa. It has a purpose. It's yontif. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Tina ach b'yabesha. That makes sense if they're dry. But b'retivsa ma'ekel ha'nemer. But what if they're wet? So the Gemara says, amalei. No, chazi lahasik gadol. If it's a very big fire, then even the wet ones are going to burn. So even if it's a big fire. So the Gemara says, tina ach b'yontif. That's very nice on yontif when you're allowed to make bonfires. But b'shabbos ma'ekel ha'nemer. What are you going to do on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, "Metaltalin and luhu agav rifta." You can move the pits by way of bread. By way of bread. What does that mean? It means you're allowed to move bread. You're allowed to move bread. Bread's not a problem. So if you have the pits on the bread, you can move the pits via moving the bread. And Kiddush Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Osa Adam Kol Tzarcho B'Pas. It's not a zilzel in the bread. Right, we treat bread in a chash of a way. It's not a zilzel to do this to the bread, because Shmuel said it's okay. You can do that. So you're right, I can't move the pits by themselves. It's muksa. But I can move them derech the bread. Tosfos asks, didn't we say that the only time you can move something with bread is for a mace? And Tosfos answers, right, Tema, Amar b'Shabbos, Amar hetekika rotinak, el l'mace bovad. Didn't we say that? The Yeshlama Tosfos answers, but Davar Shiachal Asos Mibod Yom Amar Hasam Delo Amar Heter Ela Meis Bolvat Avahani Sefuli Vlohoy Alecha Tosfos Biyantif Me'er Biyantif. These pits were not pits yet, so you had no choice. So Tosfos is saying, if you have no choice, then even things that are not a mace could also be moved via the bread. This is a big issue of moving mukta with another item. For example, if you have shells or peels, which we'll get to in a minute, that let's assume you're not going to come onto the heter of something that's very moos, and you want to move them, so you can take a spoon and scoop up all the pits and throw them out that way. Because you're not touching them, you're only touching them derech the spoon, which is permissible. It's different than moving them with your with other parts of your body, not your hands. That's a different, that's a machlokas, whether or not you can even do that. But Mishnah Berurah says you can. Mishnah Berurah says you can move something with your nose or your elbow or your feet, but the Chazanish says you can't. So that's a machlokas about that. But this is not machlokas about. Everyone holds you can move muksa with something that's not muksa. Okay. Now, Upligi Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Why this is here, right in smack in the middle, I don't know. Going back now to cooking for Goyim. There was a little bit of a break. Now we're going back. Rav Huna said you can't cook for Goyim. You can only cook for yourself. But Upligi Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dabar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mizamdan es anochi b'Shabbos. You can invite over a Nachri on Shabbos. There's no problems. But the aim is on the Nes HaNachri B'Yantif. But you can't invite him over on Yantif at all, even if you're going to eat also. If you do more Machmer. Gezeira, there's a Gezeira, Shema Yarbi B'Shvilo. Maybe you'll cook more for him. So what's the problem with cooking more for him? Didn't we say Marbi B'Shurin? You're allowed to throw in extra meat once you're cooking already anyway? So a few answers. One answer is no, we're scared you're going to have an extra pot. That you're not allowed to do. That's especially true if the pot is... If you're giving him treif, let's say you have treif around, give it to him. So that's the issue. The issue is, in a chanami, you're allowed to cook more pieces of meat in the same pot. But we're talking about a different pot. So we're scared. So on Shabbos, you're allowed to invite him because you're not allowed to cook anyway. But on Yontif, you're not. That's one of the trivia questions. One of the things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yontif, is have a guy over. Right? There were four cases. One of them was with a shovach. Some issue there. I forgot what the other two are. With the tzarachian. Things you're allowed to do on Yontif, things you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yontif. One of them is have a goy over. We're going to see in a few minutes. Maybe you can't have a goy over on Shabbos either, but for different reasons. Here, Amar Rav Achav Yaakov Amar Afilu b'Shabbos Nami Lo. Even on Shabbos, you can't have him over. You know why? Mishum Shiurei Kosos. Because the leftovers of the cup, Rashi explains in the olden days, they used to have a cup of wine and they used to use bread to scoop out the wine. When that was left over in the bottom of the cup, that was very moos, that was very repulsive. So it's muksa there. There's muksa there sitting on the table because it's repulsive. No one's drinking that. And we're going to see in a few minutes because it could be a problem of yai nesech because the guy's touching it, he goes drinking it, even though it's your wine, but he's at your table, but he's touching it by himself. So there could be a big issue. Therefore, you can't have him over. What are you going to do with that cup? So the Gemara says, Ihachi didon nami. So our cups also are going to be muksa. Because it's moos, it's repulsive. So the Gemara answers, Didan, your cup, no. Chazil atarna golem. You can give it to the chickens. You can give it to the animals.
Don't we say that something that's moos you can move?
We're going to get to that in a minute. But right now we're saying that since it's moos, it becomes muksa, and nothing you can do with it. So don't have to go over, because you're going to have stuff on the table that's going to remain there. It's going to be very repulsive. It's going to be very unenjoyable Shabbos. What about Jews? No, for Jews you can give it to the animals. So the Gemara says, so did who nami chazil atarna golem? So why can't you give the goys to the animals also? So So the Gemara says, no, did who Asuri Hananin? It's Asur Bahana. Why is it Asur Bahana? Most of the Farshim say, because it became Yayin Esach. You're not allowed to have enough from the Yayin Esach. So what are you going to do with that wine? It's sitting there the whole Shabbos, and it's repulsive. So therefore, don't have him over. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vil tal talinu agav kotha. But why can't you move the cup? Why can't you move the cup? Milo Amar Rava. Didn't Rava say metaltalin kanuna? You're allowed to move some kind of ash holder. Some kind of ash holder. You can move an ash holder. Agav kitme. And there's ash inside, which is not muksa because it was prepared beforehand. Af agav de ikka aleha shivri etim. Even though there are shivri etim, which are muksa, that I can move it derech the heter. Right? Right, that's the question. So the Gemara answers no. Hasam lavi suri hananinu. That's not asur b'hana. That ash is not asur b'hana. Yes, the muksa in there, the wood is asur, but it's not asur b'hana. Hacha, but over here is suri hananinu. It's asur b'hana. Rashi says therefore it's muksa tfei. It's even more muksa. It's worse. So Tosfos asks unbelievable kasha. He says, wait a minute. Here you have muksa in a cup, and we want to know if you can move the cup. So we bring a raya from an ash holder where there's muksa and non-muksa in there. And what do we say? You can move it because of the non-muksa. So how does that arise to this? Here there's only muksa in the cup. Right? Here the kasha, it's unbelievable kasha. Very, 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 very strong question. The answers are nowhere near as good as the question. Some say because... What? Unbelievable question. One of the answers he gives is the only one that I understand really that the shivri etzim are not even muksa, they're bottle. They're just mentioned that they're agav, and therefore it's the same case. You have muksa with a cup and muksa with a cup. Very difficult. The question is a lot better than the answer. Very difficult question. But anyway, be that as it may, you can't move the cup because it's muksa tfei. It's very muksa because asur b'hana. So therefore, don't have a guy over. So the Gemara asks, is Josh's question. Amalei Rav Acha by Difti LaRavina v'lehevi kigraf shel rei. But isn't it something repulsive? And we know that you're allowed to move things that are repulsive. Amalei v'chiyosin graf shel rei l'chachila. You're allowed to make a graf shel rei l'chachila, which means you can't invite a guy over knowing that he's going to drink wine and that wine's going to be disgusting and sitting there the whole Shabbos. You can't move it then. Yeah.
But. If there was a takana in those times that goy cannot use goy the wine that the
a guy touched
the dash, but the same thing even if you did it.
No. That's a chumrah ba'alma, that if the guy looks at wines in some wineries, that's one of the reasons why they don't show the wine. That's only a chumrah. That's a big chumrah. I know the Chabad has that chumrah, not to have guy look at wine before it's packaged or before. That's only a chumrah. There's no. That's only a chumrah. Make her a din that can look at the wine. It's only touching. So what's the question? The question was. But isn't it repulsive? Can't you remove repulsive items? So the Gemara answers, no. It's a. You can't make a graf sharei lechatchila. And you know that when you sit down, the guy's going to come, right? So I had when I read this, I said I don't understand. The Mechaber Paskins. That in Shin Ches Lamed Vav Einot Sin Graf Shereil Chachila. You're not allowed to make a Graf Shereil Chachila. So you can't invite the guy over knowing that it's going to become a Graf Shereil, because you know it's going to be. So my question was, what about all of us every single Shabbos? Isn't that the heter to move bones? What's the heter to move your chicken bones? 1 second. What's the heter? The Mishnah Berurah says, Im Niskabtu Harbe Yotzer Umos Alav. If you have a lot of bones on the plate, it's very repulsive. Lahanichan Kacha Al Shulchan. Mutter lahavir and be a diet. You can pick it up and move them. Why? The havile to the day can graf shel rei. It's a graf shel rei. So don't you sit down knowing you're going to do this? What's the difference?
Isn't that what we're trying to bring out there?
What?
Isn't that what we're trying to bring out?
But you're not allowed to make a graf shel chachila. The whole thing is turned on its head. I couldn't understand that. So when I was by Meyer last night, I was killing me. This question was killing me. So when I was by Meyer last night, I actually, it's amazing, I bumped into Rav Herschel Schechter. So I said to him, I got to ask you this question. So he looked at it, and then he said to me, "No, it can't be that you're not allowed to enjoy yourself on Shabbos. That can't be pshat." He said, "What are you having a guy over for? What are you doing with a guy in your house?" So the guy in your house, the whole thing is moth. So you're only supposed to eat things that are not, that are not, that are not, but don't have bones, that can't be pshat, it's certainly mutter. And then I saw in the Moksa book by Rav Simcha Bonham Cohen, he says exactly what Rav Shechta said. He says, it is very common that food will be unpleasant to look at. The bones remain on the table after a Shabbos meal. At times, the food may be considered a graf shel rei, and one is therefore permitted to move it. No problem. This is not initially creating a graf shel rei. People must eat on Shabbos. And a graf shel rei is the direct result of eating. And it's m'shem, the Shita Mekubet says, am beitza, daf chaf aleph. So, what? So what are you having to go over for? That's what Rav Shechta said. That's what Rav Shechta said to me. What are you having to go over for? What are you doing there in your house? So therefore, that's a graf shel rei l'chachila. Like he quotes, you can't go to a room that you never use on Shabbos, sit there by the garbage, and then say, oh, this garbage is terrible, I'm taking it out. That's a graf shel rei l'chachila. What are you doing over there? You went over there just to get it out. If you're in the kitchen, a normal thing, and it's bothering you, you have the chicken bones, and the peels, and the shells, no problem, it's a graf shel rei. But you can't start out, right, I'm gonna go to where it's smelly, and then I can move all the muksa because it's smelly. You can't do that. So what are you having to go over for? So of course, that's a graf shel rei l'chachila, you can't move the cup. Bottom line is, you can't have it over. Okay, next. Adabre Rava l'mar Shmuel. Rava was talking to Mar Shmuel, v'darish, and he said, "Mezamenes anochi b'Shabbos, you're allowed to invite over a guy on Shabbos, v'ein mezamenes anochi b'yontif." Why? Gzeira shema yarbe b'shula. Maybe he'll cook extra pots, and that's going to be a problem. Maremar umar zutra kiavi mikla lehu nachri b'yontif. When Maremar and Mar Zutra would invite over a guy on yontif, amrule, they would tell him, "Inichalach b'mai tarchinalach mutav." If you're going to eat with what we have here, very nice. Then come and join us. Why they're having the goy? It's a separate issue. But if you want to stay with what we have, great. V'im lo tarchina yisera adai tech didach lo tarchinan. But if you're not going to have enough, we're not cooking more for you. I'm telling you in advance, this is the lunch. Here it is. If you want to come, you're more than welcome to. But we're not cooking more for you because we're not going out of our way for goyim. Okay. I don't know how successful that would have been to say, but that's what they held.
Yeah. All these issues. So I don't understand. So you know, we're going to bake it for the soldiers, but if one of our kids can eat it, then
no, so he says you have to ask them. You have to ask the guy, would you mind if the kids eat with you? And if they said no, then fine. Then you're really cooking for yourself.
But you're just putting your kids in the situation that they're going to eat from that bread because you know you have to do it for the soldiers
right.
Anyway. And that point it was the fear that you had to do it for the soldiers.
Right, so that could have been part of the heter. Because what are you going to do? You're going to tell the soldiers no? Right, that could have been the heter. Okay. Mishnah. Beishame Omer, lo yicham adam chamin l'raglav. You can't cook water to wash your feet. The Mishnah Berurah adds on your hands and your face. Elaim kein ru'uyim l'shtiyah, unless you're going to drink it also. And Dr. Friedman, Beishame doesn't hold of mitoch. So the Mefarshim explains, he must drink it. He must take a sip. Because he doesn't hold that I can do it for A and then I can do it for B. No, he only, once, you have leftovers, then you can wash your feet. Ubeis hilo matirin ose matirin. Beis hilo says it's mutter. Not only that, you're allowed to make a big bonfire and warm yourself. So the Gemara says, Ibailahu, Hai Madura, this bonfire, man ketonila. Was that who said that line about the bonfire? Debi Hakolhi? Was that everybody? Vishani Lahu Beishamai Beinhanos Kol Gufo Lanos Aver Echad, and Beishamai was distinguishing between your whole body, which Rashi explains, that's Ochal Nefesh Mamish. Right? We know that eating is not just putting something in your mouth. Even anointing yourself has the din of achila. So maybe if your whole body is getting warmed, that Beishamai would agree is considered ochel nefesh. But just your feet, that's not ochel nefesh. O Dilma, no, maybe Beis Hillel ketani lo. Avalo Beishamai lo. Maybe no, it's only Beis Hillel, not Beishamai. Toshma, Beishamai lo shani lohu. Beishamai would not agree that you could warm your whole body. You can't do extra malachos to warm your whole body. No, only for ochel nefesh mamish. And that's how we're going to say, Toshma Beishamai Omrim, lo yasa adam medura v'yischamim kinegda. You're not allowed to, because he doesn't hold a mitzvah. So the only thing you're allowed to do is cook and eat. You can't do other things with malachos, like carry. He holds you not allowed to carry. You can't carry the baby. You can't carry the machzer. He doesn't hold a mitzvah. But, u'beitzil matir, and u'beitzil is matir. So just one line in Tosfos. So Tosfos asks, on the bottom, so why can't you take a full shower? Why only your feet? By only your feet. So this is a big discussion, but Tosfos said something fascinating, living in the 1100s, second to bottom line, Avokol gufo moda de oser. Even Beis Hillel would say you're not allowed to wash your whole body. Why? The davar ha shava l'chol nefesh be'inan. Because in order for ochel nefesh, in order for this mitoch to work, it has to be something that is something which across the board is considered a need. V'zeh eino royu. Elol of the other mu'unagin. Only the fine ones shower constantly. Not everybody does that. Avol yadav v'raglav shava l'chol nefesh. But hands and feet, not everybody does. So that's the big discussion about taking showers in yontif. It's all from here. Whether it's shava l'chol nefesh today, obviously it's not. That's not true today. Today it's the exact reverse. Somebody doesn't shower often, they're the outcast. So that's a big discussion, but pashtus, they only mattered the feet and the hands and maybe the face, because that's something that was considered across the board, something that was a necessity. Okay, everybody have a very good Shabbos.